What are the divisions? Verse 6. David divided them into divisions among the sons of Levi. Number 1, Gershon. Number 2, Kohath. Number 3, Merari. These are the three major divisions of the Levites. And the Levites represent the pastoral ministry. The Levites represent the ministry of help unto Aaron the high priest. Now, these three divisions of Levites are specially mentioned in the book of Numbers, from Numbers chapter 4. You will find from Numbers chapter 4 that the three tribes of divisions of Levites are divided as follows. The Merarites are to transport the structural equipment of the tabernacle of Moses. The Gershonites are to transport the external covering. And the Kohathites are to transport the internal equipment, like all the six pieces of furniture. And so each one has some form of transport. There are basically three major divisions of the pastoral ministry. Three major divisions. The internal things, the external covering, and the structural area. And if you read carefully in the Bible, the ministry of a pastor in the New Testament are described in three different titles. Deacons, elders, and bishops. All these three function in what Ephesians 4:11, 12, and 12 tells us, the ministry of a pastor. You only find the word poime, which means shepherd, used one time as a pastor in Ephesians 4, verse 11 and 12. The other times are found in the Gospel of John, where it's translated as shepherd, and in other places as chief shepherd. But the main division of the pastoral ministry in the early church fall into bishops, elders, and deacons. If you examine it carefully, which is I leave for you to research, and you'll find that one of those deal with the structural, one deals with external covering, the deacons usually, I'm giving you a clue now, and then one deals with the internal covering. I might as well give you and say a little guessing, right? So, the bishops deal with the internal structure. When it talks about bishop, it talks about the internal structure within the church and the leadership. And then when it deals with structural areas, it deals with elders. And when he deals with coverings, external coverings, the deacon's ministry. Then when you look over, you see how Chronicles got fivefold ministry inside. There's a lot of study there. Chapter 24, the divisions of the priests. The divisions of the priests talk about the apostolic ministry. And there are mainly two lines of apostolic ministry. Just as you see in chapter 24, they are, of all the four sons of Aaron, two died. Nadab and Abihu died. So left only two more, Eleazar and Ithamar. Eleazar and Ithamar represent the two types of apostles possible in the New Testament. The Pauline type and the Petrine type. See, the Petrine type are those that are called the 12 apostles of the Lamb. The Pauline type are different. They are New Testament apostles to the, a tribe of people, a group of people, or to a nation. And you will notice that Eleazar had more than Ithamar in verse 4. Among the sons of Eleazar, we are in 1 Chronicles 24, verse 4, in case you're lost. Among the sons of Eleazar, there was 16 heads of their father's houses and 8 heads of their father's houses among the sons of Ithamar. If you will trace the apostolic ministry in the New Testament, you will find that the records of the Pauline type of apostles are roughly twice as many as the 12 apostles. What a powerful revelation here. And as you go further here, and notice the number they always use in verse 18, 24. Which is, again, is always a number of government, 12. Then in chapter 25, the revelation of the prophet's office. And there are three major divisions of prophets.
which we wouldn't know if we are just, you know, studying the New Testament without Old Testament light. And chapter 27, notice that of all the divisions, there are three main groups divided into three families. In verse 2, let's read verse 1. There are three groups: the sons of Aset, the sons of Heman, and the sons of Jedutun. And if you study them carefully, you find that in the Old Testament, there are two types of prophets, and in the New, there is the one type, the Agabus type. So the New Testament prophet is different from the Old Testament prophet, so it stands by itself. Then the Old Testament prophet has two groupings. We have taught that in a prophetic seminar, so we're not repeating here, right? You can buy the tape somewhere at the back. Praise the Lord. Now, there are these two types of prophets that are there. What we are just showing here in our book study is that there is much revelation in the book of Chronicles. And if you begin to have insight in the Holy Spirit, you realize that there's a lot of revelation you can study further in the divisions and clues to study New Testament teachings. Now, in chapter 26, gatekeepers, who else but evangelists? Chapter 26 of 1 Chronicles, the evangelist ministry. And if you study the divisions of the evangelists, you realize that even though they are all these 12 various divisions that are made of all these sons, etc., basically they point to the four directions: north, south, east, west. And again, if you study the evangelist ministry, it's not so much divisions into how many classes of evangelists, but more where the evangelist is sent. That's important. So some people are called to be on the east side, some on the west side. And you must know that if God called you to be an evangelist to Africa, that doesn't mean that automatically you will succeed in Australia. See, you must know the territory where you're called to. There is such a thing as an evangelist to certain places. Philip, in his own hometown, was only a deacon. He only became an evangelist when he started moving out into Samaria. So do not be surprised. Some people try to duplicate. You know, they have fantastic meetings in Timbuktu. Then they come back and try the same thing. It didn't work. Why? They have just moved up. We think that only apostles got a place or a nation or a group of people to go through. You'll be surprised if you study carefully in the New Testament, evangelists also had a geographical area. However, some people could be called to evangelists to the world. But the major portion of them are north, south, east, west, different divisions, groupings. Then you go to chapter 27, the military divisions. Now you say, what are these? Surprisingly, military divisions in the New Testament have to do with the office of a teacher. If you study very carefully, the office of a teacher is divided into fivefold office and into smaller major office. And whenever the Bible talks about warfare in the New Testament, it talks about the Word of God. Let me give you a few examples before we close. In the book of Timothy, when he talks about warfare, in the book of 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3, he says, "You therefore..." Now when he says therefore, that means the previous sentence is important. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ." No one engages in warfare. We are in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 3 and 4. In warfare, entangles himself with the affairs of this life. You look at verse 2, he's talking about the teaching ministry. He says in verse 2, "And the things that you have heard from me among many witnesses, commit these to faithful men who will be able to teach others also." Now he's talking about spiritual warfare. And you study very carefully that the teaching ministry needs to be broken up. It's not only a major big teaching ministry. It needs to be broken up to faithful men to teach others also. And as far as the devil is concerned, unless the people are taught, they are not good soldiers for God. And it's teaching and the word that makes a difference in warfare. Study Ephesians chapter 6. The armor of God, every piece of the armor point back to the word of God. And unless we are skillful in handling the armor of God, look at the army of God, army that David raised up. You notice the one thing about the three things about the army that David had, we are now cross-referencing to the book of 1 Chronicles. and looking at chapter 12, there are three things that you need to take note here. In looking over at verse 32, number one, the army that followed David in verse 32 had understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. Do you notice that? How else can people know what they ought to do in the New Testament unless they are taught the word? You can only be a part of the army and the children of the Church of Jesus Christ unless you know the word. Not just because you have a label. You must know the word. And you must know the understanding of the times to know what Israel ought to do. What are we to do? How do the body of Christ know what they ought to do? What they ought to do? Through the teaching of the word. Because it's the word that teaches what we ought to do and how we are to do it. Then number two, notice here in verse 33, they were expert in war with all weapons of war. What are the weapons of our warfare? The sword of the Spirit, the helmet of salvation, the breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shoes of the gospel of peace, the shield of faith. What are all these pieces? All different parts of the word. Expert in war. And then the third thing, you notice here, stout-hearted men who could keep in rank. Stout-hearted means people who are not fearful, but full of faith. And the only way to get rid of fear that I know is the word of God, which produces faith. That is why when you talk about military divisions in the Bible, you're talking about the office of a teacher. There's an important role out there. And so we conclude and see how in the whole book of 1 Chronicles, it talks about all these prophetic things that point into the New Testament. And next week, when we look at 2 Chronicles, we'll see the connection and the transition and transfer to Solomon's kingdom. Let's go to God in prayer. Father God, we praise you and we thank you for your grace and your mercy. We ask, O God, that even as we study your word, that you continue to transform our lives. You equip us, Lord, as we begin to see that teaching and the office and ministry of the Spirit of wisdom and revelation is to cause us to know our weapons, to cause us to know how to wield the good warfare against the enemy. Because we know, God, we are in a spiritual warfare. And we ask, oh God, as we begin to see the place of each one of the fivefold office, we will respect each office, oh God, and cause each office to flow together in the fullness of these days that we are living in. Father, for those that have committed to you to fast, to pray, to seek your face, to humble themselves, we pray for special grace upon their lives, Lord. And we ask, oh God, that you continue to establish your work in each life, oh God. That may your church and may all the churches that are represented here be blessed, oh God. That in this new year, Lord, let the pastors be blessed, Lord. Let the ministers be blessed, oh God. And cause greater blessing, Lord. Cause each one here to bring greater blessing to the churches they attend, Lord. To all the fellowships that they're attending, oh God. We ask for this special grace and blessings, Lord, on their lives. And we ask, oh God, that they contribute in a better way, Lord, to society, Lord. That they become better citizens, oh Lord. That they become loyal citizens, oh God. That this country will be proud to have them, Lord. That there will be people to contribute, Lord, to help and to help in all they can, oh God. Father, we ask, oh Lord, that we will build a good people, oh God. People, oh God, a people of love, a people who care, oh God. And a people who would be able and willing to sacrifice, to show, and to help their next door neighbor, Lord. So that, oh God, most of all, that all would know that Jesus is alive. And that He's living through our lives, oh God. May Jesus be real in each life, oh Father God. Let your mercies and grace be established in Jesus' name. Amen. Praise God. Let's rise together and sing that song to God with the glory for all that He has done throughout this whole year. We praise God. To God.